As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. and Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I have to tell you that this is a pretty tough time right now that we're going through as we try to seek to find what in the world is going on in our society. In our government, it is tough to understand why we find ourselves in the midst of a war with North Korea. At the same time, we got our president trading insults with the NFL. So it's hard to figure out what's going on. And I have to tell you, week three has been kind of hard not to want to switch over and see the Dolphins play or see what's going on around the country in terms of the NFL, but I know how important it is for us to take a stance. And so I did a lot of other things other than watch football. I did a couple of videos that I'm doing to share my opinion about what's going on in our country. And I'm just to the point where, you know, you're trying to figure out how in the world did we find ourselves in this situation. And so, you know, we need to just talk about what's on our mind today and what are we thinking about in terms of trying to figure out what's going on in our society and where do we fit in? What is it that we need to be doing? You know, we talk a lot on this show about taking action. And so my action is what I hope everyone's action is right now. They're trying to deny themselves of a little enjoyment of the NFL while sending a message to those that are in charge. And we want to expand this message as much as we possibly need to in all kind of different directions so that people will truly understand that what we think and feel is not to be taken lightly. You know, if we're not serious about what we're thinking and what we're feeling about how we're being treated, how can we expect white America to understand and feel think that we're serious about what's being said? You know, there was one time it was said that, you know, you can't take what your rights or your freedoms lightly. They have to be taken with some type of force. And that doesn't mean they're taken with physical force, but they're taken with the force of consciousness. And so we have to bring America's consciousness into play as we seek to change the way our world is existing. I'm going to go first to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, tell me about how you're dealing with the NFL situation. Are you watching the games, or are you, you know, what are your thoughts related to how the players seem to have come out and really showed their solidarity related to what's being going on? Are you there, Lorenzo? All right. How are you doing this evening, Andre?
Just superior Sunday to everyone. And as we talk about the topic you just brought to mind, I had an opportunity to receive an article from a friend who shared with me, and it was an in-depth article. But it shared with me that whether Kaepernick returns to NFL as a player or not, that indeed he has started a movement which is beyond whether he play or not. He have risen the issue and concern of respect, the fact that mistreatment will not be allowed, and action that people will take in different ways to support that picture that. I have selected not to watch the NFL, and if he don't return, I may return next year. I don't know, but I'm at a good place now because of the fact that I do agree with the article that he has a job. Kaepernick has a job now, and that job is doing just as he is doing. The manner in which he's responding, not being irate, not being ugly. And yet the good things that he's doing in his own right, in his own way, is positive. And not only that, you know, people are talking now. Whether you watch it, the NFL or not, I mean, that's not the only way you could show your support. But, you know, it goes beyond whether you watch the NFL. It goes beyond whether a person take a knee or not. But it is good to see the unity that's coming forth. It's good to see that people are standing up for what is right and not being mistreated. So I think about that when you asked the question about, you know, well, what's on your mind and how you're feeling. And even beyond this Kaepernick, I tell you what, I'm still trying to recover, if you would, from Hurricane Irma. And so many times we go through just so many critical issues or critical crisis in our lives. And, you know, we want to just talk about it for a moment and move on. You know, the news broadcasted before Irma hit. And then again, I think probably about 3 days or so. But, you know, some people just received power on yesterday. And our neighbors down in Puerto Rico, when you think about being without electricity for 6 months, even 1 month, I mean, most people start to get on edge by day two or day three being without power. So I say that to say that even though I'm trying to get back to normalcy, I'm just out of sync. And so many times when we're faced with different issues that's important to us, people want us to move along, whether it's a death in the family, whether it's a divorce, whether it's financial crisis. So I'm glad you're bringing this particular topic up. Where we talk about Kaepernick, you know, our actions are very important. Like I said, it's not something that are breezed by. And I really hope that we stop breezing by a lot of things, just, you know, turning it off, turning, you know, going on to the next thing. Let us pause, let us take action, and let us make an impact. So thank you very much.
All right. Guys, I just want to tell you, as I look at the situation and what is happening, I'm in amazement that our president could be so involved in this situation. Started out Friday, continued on Saturday, and continued today. And it seems like this man just has no barometer when it comes to what his level is, and that he wants to get down into stuff that is not even his business, as far as I'm concerned. And so, but with that said, I'm looking forward to someone of leadership filling this vacuum. I don't know what Kaepernick will ultimately do, But if he's the person, I'm looking forward to seeing how he impacts our society as a whole. There's a lot that we have to discuss, and he just put one thing on the table when he put treatment of people of color by the police. There are a whole lot more we need to deal with, but we need to deal with it from a position of strength, and we can only be strong if all of us engage at the same time. Dee, what are your thoughts about what's going on this Sunday?
Good evening, everybody, and thank you, James, for another great show, great topic, and congratulations on your new endeavor about getting into the video business and making yourself be heard via by way of video. I think that's a great move. You know, when it comes down to the protests that's going on, you know, we said the other day that when the conservative mom came on and wanted all the viewers to protest the non-standing of the players during the national anthem, you know, we're in a position, we're in a situation now of double jeopardy. They're protesting us, we're protesting them. And so, but in all of that, I think the worst of it all is the language of our supposed president. He's totally off the cuff. He is juvenile in which way that you can imagine, all across the board. Him and the Korean leader over there, they tweeting each other back and forth with insults. And so when it comes down to this president, if there's a story to be told, if there's news to be had, he wants to be right in the middle of it. And at the expense of making everybody shameful, no matter who it is, this country in particular, even his own party, they are about to really come out and say something about his behavior, because he's totally off the rip, and there's no stopping him. He had about 3 weeks of showing that he could be somewhat presidential on script, though, by teleprompter. But when he's in his own environment, man, he's a mad animal. And so LeBron explained him perfectly. He's just a bum. He's an outright bum, and that's just the way he is. Thank you.
And it's hard to understand. You know, guys, I'm telling you, I pride myself on trying to reduce the amount of foul language that I use at any given time. In fact, I pretty much never use foul language. But for this man to be on national television or to be on at a rally and using words like that, it's just, I never thought I'd see the day that a president would be so flipping about how he talks to people and to stick his nose in where it doesn't belong. And I have to tell you, I'm a little proud of the ownership because, you know, he really thought that the owners were going to be in his camp. And so far I see that there seems to be owners who are not going to even follow suit because they know what side, you know, they know what side, what is it they're saying about, you know, what side of the bread you is buttered on. And so it looks like to me, even I was surprised at the New England Patriots and some of the things that some of the Patriots said. So it seems that this is it's amazing that we may see something happen that we didn't even anticipate as we move forward. Cheryl, what are your thoughts related to this outcome or what direction we seem to be going?
I was unmuted. Good afternoon, James. This is Joy. So were you talking to me or are you talking to Cheryl?
Oh, yes, I was. I'm sorry.
Well,
go ahead, Joy.
You know, how I look at it and what is on my mind, and I agree with you. Thank you so much for what you stated, Dee and Audrey. But when I look at this, I did not opt out for it. I did not opt out of NFL this season. And the reason why I did not do that is because when we look at it, we won't be hurting our players because our players, like you say, is under contract. They're going to get paid regardless. But what has happened, and we might want to say that the president is bad, but when you look at it on the flip side of it, and the Bible says sometime out of bad always come good, right? And I think this president has really turned up the heat on making America take a look at itself. He's doing it in an ugly way, but in the end, I think we're going to have positive results from that because the movement have started so great, and you say you don't know what role Kavanaugh has played. He have played his role, and his role is in – he have written history. This morning on NSNBC, they put him with the great leaders and the warriors of Muhammad Ali who stepped out. Those Olympics guys who raised up their hands for black power, then they showed him. So he is the movement. He is what is in history. He's writing our part of history of us for us to participate. I comment every, I congratulate every football player who has decided to come and join in because it needed those type of players for the little people like you and I who get railroaded and ran over who does not have a voice, but when they can come in unison and make a big impact. Thanks to the president, he really thinks he's hurting us, but in a way he's making everybody really take a look, like the man in the mirror, take a look at yourself. Now maybe, just maybe, America can move forward and say, hey, wait a minute, let's make a wrong right. And let's pray that that does happen. Thank you.
Yeah, it is obvious to me that he, again, he won't, I made a statement about he can't even get out of his own way. He seems to make a situation worse in terms of himself because there was nowhere in the world he was going to be putting those players in check. I mean, I never got to the NFL. I only played in college. And I can guarantee you, on a college level, you could not put players in check like that. Even when we had scholarships that we wanted, you would not tell people what they were going to do and not going to do. These are grown men who have money or are going to have money, and they're not going to allow you to talk to them like little boys. And so he just crossed the line and didn't know what line he was crossing, mostly because of his age. He has no real understanding or consideration of what these young men are like, and they definitely are not going to be told how to behave and how to act. I'm going to call your last four digits of your number out and give you an opportunity to share your thoughts. 1010. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, good afternoon, James. Both of my phones are dead, so I'm on another phone. Good afternoon, everybody. And I totally agree with everything that has been said. I'm just appalled at what's going on. But I stand with everyone else on their comments and prayer. That's it.
You know, and it's just... Dee, I think you made mention about how this man is so flippant and how he makes these statements and about, you know, calling, you know, SOB. You know, I mean, can you imagine a president saying that about men? So basically, there are probably 100 so men that he's made this comment to. And I don't know how he's going to try to walk it back. Because he already said what he said. So it is obvious that there are a lot of people in the league and him are at odds with each other.
You unmuted me again, James.
Yes, James. I'm sorry. Were you speaking to me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, James. Please repeat your question real quick. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying it looks like I don't see how the president can walk it back when he is so many people he's in odds with, the owners, the coaches,
now 100 or so players, there's no way for him to walk back his comments at this point.
No, James, I made the comment a few months ago. He reminds me of a guy that pours gasoline on himself and lights himself up and then run down the street and said, look at me. And that's the sensationalism that he likes. But they're going to have to put the brakes on him some kind of way, especially when it comes to antagonizing our world on a regular basis. I had always said that this practice that he has with the tweeting was going to cause just that problem because, you know, when he's in his bedroom, and who does this? When he's in his bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on the side of the bed, tweeting folk around the world, and then they respond back to him, then there's your international crisis right there. That should be a matter of national security, where that should not be even a practice being done. So, I mean, just like the campaign that we all had to go through, and, you know, I'm not upset about it. It's just something that we have to endure. But just like the campaign that he brought to the forefront, this is highly unusual. And in all of that, like Ms. Kathy, I always said, we have to be really mindful of prayer to get us through this swampy, murky water that we seem to find ourselves in. Thank you.
You know, people keep telling me, or I was told, and I've been told by a number of people, that this is God's plan, that God has given us a superior leader, a leader that we could have confidence in, who was educated, had morals, had values, and walked softly but carried a big stick. And now we got someone with a big mouth who is endangering all of our existence. You know, when I look at North Korea, I look at a fight that can't be won. And you can destroy North Korea, but at the cost of what? They only need to get off one missile or one bomb and hit Japan or hit South Korea or either hit us. And those are thousands and thousands of lives at stake, innocent lives, because our president wants to play one up. And he is not even equipped to do it. You know, if you were equipped to deal with all the aspects of what would happen and you had the intellect to do it would be one thing. But he is ill-equipped and does not have the intellect because he just doesn't know how to stay out of stuff and put out his own fires. Here we are a third time them trying to repeal Obamacare or get rid of it. Still doesn't look like it's going to happen. Just on every front, he seems to be losing his ability to make anything happen. And his key address about he was going to build a wall, that's not going to happen. And so it is just that we are dealing with mediocrity when it comes to the Donald Trump administration. And nobody seems to be able to put him in check. And so, Audrey, I can't imagine how we're going to deal with him for another three. You know, it hasn't gotten to be a year yet, but 4 years seems like a lifetime with him at the helm.
Well, it's not for us to do anything with him. I think everyone has said that for every season, there's a purpose, and he's serving his purpose. And, you know, sometimes we have to step back just a minute and realize that whether we want to admit it or not, everything he told us exactly what he was doing. He was campaigning against. He told Hillary that, you know, at nighttime she would be sleeping. Well, that's what he is. He's up tweeting and that type of thing. Now, we don't like it. And again, we can't change it by ourselves. And in essence, we can't change it. And we do just have to trust and know that the Lord has everything in control, and he has a good plan for us. So the plan is going to be of good. Now, I think Joyce mentioned it earlier, and everyone has said it in their own different way, but out of this is coming good. People are really being revealed to for who they are. You know, many a times we've lived next to neighbors and really didn't understand really what their true thoughts were. And for whatever reason, they were hiding it here and hiding it there. Well, let me tell you, coming from Mississippi, I'd rather know who I'm dealing with. Because if I know where you're coming from, I can maneuver better. And it's good for me to understand a person's position. We treat each other with respect and all, but it's good to know, you know, what their beliefs are and what they are willing to do. It also has caused us to unify a little more. The Lord had to do something to bring us together, to start showing love. And, of course, in my little weak mind, I have nowhere near the understanding of what the Lord has in store for us, but I do know that his plan will come to pass. And this, too, no matter how ugly it seems, there's some good. But don't get me wrong, we have to take action. We have to pray, yes, but we have to take action and do according to how we're led by the Lord.
Joyce, one of the things that is unbelievable, this man has taken a situation. I read an article that talked about that this protest was on its way out, that it was kind of burning out, and that he indeed now has striking and put so much gas on the fire, using the term that D used, that it may last the whole season, and now is involving other people. I saw where a baseball player took a knee, and now he's got basketball against him, with LeBron James calling him a bomb and saying that he ruined an effort that everybody found very special, going to the White House and after winning the championship. And so now he's down to hockey being one of the only champ teams that's willing to go. So now he's found division with the baseball, division with basketball, now division with the NFL. So he is creating a very nasty situation related to diplomacy.
Absolutely, and you're totally correct. Also, what we have to look at, by this happening now, this may be even best for it to happen now, because it gets some of the ones who was on the line about the health care, make them take a real good look as to what they're willing to give up, to who they've been to get behind and try to represent. So this is so wonderful. We have to really look at the big picture about what is going on right now, and particularly what is going to happen next week, because Congress, they have until next Saturday to determine whether or not Obama is going to live or whether or not Obama healthcare is going to die. So by him acting up, tweeting, getting everybody around the world in an uproar, do you really think a lot of senators who are just mending the fence is going to really, really step over and say, I'm going to back you up, when they know that what they're going to decide is going to be wrong for their state? I don't think so. So a lot of good, is coming out of this way more than what we think. On the flip side of that is that he has no regard or no respect for no one. I'm so glad that Kaepernick's mother came forward and say, well, if you're talking about him, what are you calling me? I guess, you know. So now you messing with people's mama. That's the reason why a lot of these guys are coming up to the forefront. Don't do that. You talking about it? Their mama. And you don't want to go that route with our young men, in particular our brothers. They're crazy about our moms. So now that you've done that, you really, really went over a little too far. So I'm so honored and thankful for the owner for the Broncos who stood up, said they gave him $1 million, said that he didn't buy into that. And he proud of the players on his team, and he's going to go hand-in-hand with them, and told them that he had no idea when he introduced him as the next president. He said he hated that he did that because he was never buying into what is coming out of his mouth today. So a lot of people showing who they really are by he's making them make their showmanship. He making them come out, and now, like Audrey said, you know who you're dealing with. So that's a good thing. So I'm looking at all his negative. I'm trying to look at it in a positive way to flip it. And then this way, if we can flip it and make something good happen, then we can move forward as a unit. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be coming right back to continue our conversation. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Felt So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we're just talking about the situation we find ourselves in, and it's hard to believe that we can be in the midst of this much turmoil in less than a year. It seems like on every front, there's something going on that we need a real leadership to deal with. And as Audrey said, now you have Puerto Rico down there who don't have lights and may not have electricity for months. And I know how much I was crying after 2 or 3 days. So I can't even imagine what it's like to be in that situation with so many people finding themselves homeless and having no idea when they will be back under any kind of structure that resembles home and they'd still be without power. And this is why leadership in the presidency, because there's stuff always going on that needs someone with a clear head looking at how we're going to deal with these situations. And so that now we have Texas, you have Florida still dealing with its situation, and now you have Puerto Rico. And you can't just have somebody who's off on a tangent dealing with things as minuscule as trading insults with the NFL when we got major concerns going on. You know, we have to really think about hopefully that level heads will prevail over North Korea, because it just seems like when you tell somebody, how can you negotiate with anybody when you tell them that you're willing and prepared to destroy their whole country? Here you got this man who's so flipped to say anything, D, and now how can you negotiate? How can anybody negotiate after he's put them in this situation?
And you know, you're 100% right. I had got to a point like Ms. Audrey and Ms. Joyce where I was in a space where I was willing and looking forward to flipping a bad situation into some normalcy. But when you're dealing with Bobo the Clown like this right here, it's almost like when he see people trying to get back to some kind of normal state of mind, he'll say, wait a minute, I got another bag of tricks over here in my bag. Let me see what else I got over here now. Oh, let me pull this crap out and see how they deal with this. And so he won't let us relax. He likes sensation. So all in all, you know, you spoke about when before the break, you spoke about how some people felt that no, that's not what I want to say. I want to say this right here. I want to piggyback on what Ms. Audrey said about the good that has come of this, if we can call it good. You know, at least we know now who's who. And I think that's most important right now. We all have co-workers and people that we are around of other races. And, you know, they went in stock and barrel on this administration and this ideology. And when they found that it was about to blow up in their faces, a small percentage of them, they wanted to backtrack and, you know, and almost pretend that, you know, we weren't riding that train. But, you know, when you had the signs in the yard, yes, you were. And so I can really appreciate the fact that we know who they are. When it comes down to the fact that God's will being done, well, you know, we know that. And so, again, that leads me to Bible prophecy. And it speaks about how all these things must come to pass before our Lord come back. And in that gives me some comfort. It would be nice if things played out the way we were hoping and expect it does. But at the end of the day, I think God's will being done is the ultimate thing that we should be willing to accept. And so in that, I think that's where I am. And so I'm just kind of being a spectator on the side and just watching it all unfold for the good of God's will. That's what I want to say. Thank you.
Well, I have to tell you, when I hear people say that, I know that, and Audrey has made this statement, that we can't begin to understand what the fourth quarter will look like, even though we are in a big mess in mediocrity in the first quarter. Because, you know, God sees things way down the road and a thousand moves on the chest, please, ahead. So it's hard to figure out where the good will be. But certainly, I just feel like we find ourselves in a bunch of different fronts where we are just at the mercy of this guy. And I know America at some point is going to raise the head and say, hey, this is not working. Regina, welcome, Regina. I hadn't spoken to you in a while. Welcome back. We're just talking about Donald Trump and all the different fronts that he seems to be involved in chaos, from North Korea to all the damage that has been done around the country in terms of the weather, and now to be picking fights with the NFL, the NBA, and now even people on the baseball taking a knee. What are your thoughts about all of this?
Hi. You know, of course, all of this is just is running around in my head. I don't know that I have a particular laser-focused thought on Donald Trump, because he is such a huge personality within himself. I just don't know. I just don't know. One thing I am sure about is that we must keep focused on Christ. We must keep focused on our purpose here. We must keep encouraging others to be focused. And we must set goals and aim towards those goals. And when I say that, I mean, for instance, this radio program. The purpose is to enlighten people, to make people think. And we must keep focused on that, and you're doing a fantastic job of it. Also, when we talk on here, we go out and we talk amongst our communities. So not only is your purpose right here at this moment, but when we go out and talk about what we've talked about on the program, we're enlightening and spreading light to those who may be confused. And that's what we must continue to do. And we can't let we can't try to figure out a fool. We see it. We know it. It's there. We see it. We know it. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. We know what a duck is. Plan and strategize what we're going to do for ourselves when this duck is sitting right here amongst us. And if any of that made sense, I hope it did. But I just can't focus on Donald Trump. I just can't.
I tell you what I believe. I really believe that we need to take this moment where we, I don't know how many Americans of color or any other color are turning off the NFL. I want you to know that Audrey is on her job and she's making sure. I called her earlier today and I said, well, Audrey, can I look at just to see who's sitting down?
No, you can't.
No, we know. And so I didn't. I didn't even watch the TV. I so bad wanted to see who was taking a knee. And so I know right away. But she was like, I mean, I got enough information to find out who was taking the knee afterwards. But it is just it is just so important that we not stop here. Once we establish, P. Diddy came out and he told, he said what he needed to say. He said that he hoped all the boys take a knee. And so we just got people from every region or every type of career coming out and taking a stand. And this is what we need. We need to galvanize this in a way that allows us to move to another level. And so I'm in hopes that somebody steps up and takes this vacuum that exists in terms of leadership and tell us what to do so that we can do it. You know what I mean? And so
well,
not only should we stop watching the NFL, but we need to be doing some other things as well.
Well, dang.
Go ahead,
dang.
Regina.
Okay, dang.
What?
As far as leadership, I want to share what I am doing here in Columbia. Facebook is a powerful thing, and people came out thanking other people for criticizing folks who chose to watch the game. Well, I say that everybody has a choice, but at some point we're going to have to choose to stick together. And then I said, and I'm going to work that this week. Next week, if they just have to watch the games, then move the game to African-American-owned establishments. I'm sorry, move the watch parties to African-American-owned establishments and take it from our Wild Wings and our Buffalo Wings. Because I was wondering as I was coming along today, I bet you Donald Trump has stopped in some of these places. So not only is he calling our mothers, calling the women, the boys, the young men, sons of what he said, he's calling them that, and he's profiting from people who are watching the game. So, you know, let's make sure that he doesn't profit from that. Let's try to keep the money within the black community if we must watch it. So that's what I'm doing this week as far as taking a leadership role, establishing where those African-American establishments are and moving the monies toward those places.
Well, it's important for us to do something that's economic. It's important for us to do something that is visual. We just need to work on every front possible and recognize if you're not going to take hold of the power now, when are you going to take hold of it? Then you, no matter what it is that you want, it's not going to get you anything. So, Andre, we have to display some type of power in order to get what it is that we want, don't we?
Yes, you're exactly right. It takes unity. And, you know, we often reflect back to the Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey's and Martin Luther King's, and that's because we're reading, or either we were young and we participated. But you have to know that when people were participating in the moment, it was because of what they felt was important to them. And I think it was Joyce that said, you know, this is our season here. This is our moment. It is time for us. We have to stand. We have to demonstrate, because the generation that's coming after us and the one that's coming after them, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're dependent on us now. So this is our season, because they're going to read about 2017 when we're old and gray, feeble and slow, and they're going to come to us, grandma and grandpa, whatever they call you, grand. You know, help me to understand that, because you have to understand that a lot of our young generation, they may know a little bit about Martin Luther King, but you start asking them some questions about Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X and Gandhi and all, and you may not go too far. Well, again, this is our time. I think you raised a good question, James. What will it take? We have to be unified. We have to take action. We have to be heard, because we're strong as a unit, and that's with anything, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your schools, whether it's in your communities, your business, or whatever. There's strength in unity. Now, it start with one person, yes, but the more we can add on one and add on another, that's when we can take hold and let our voices be heard and heard loudly.
And, Dee, it's time for somebody to be able to say to us, okay, we need to meet in Washington, D.C., in numbers they have never seen before. We need to shut down D.C. For one day to let them know that we mean business. And if we're not able to make a stand that is historic, then we're wasting our time. We have to make a stand or display some kind of strength that has never been seen before.
Well, you know, I think y'all are absolutely right. Ms. Joyce and Ms. Audrey explained it very well. Because, you know, if this is not our moment, then when is our moment? Ms. Regina spoke about the tone and the rhetoric that the president made, and I'm going to call him president. He made the sons of bitches. You know, it's like, we know who you're talking to because we know who the subject matter is. So, and that is way, way over the top, with no breaks and no boundaries. And so you all are correct. If we don't start to stop him now, then how and when will he ever be stopped? Because it's quite evident. Nobody can control him. General Kelly can't control him. His wife can't control him. So all gloves are off. And so I think you all are right, right on point. This is our moment. And as far as leadership and the person who is going to be the one to galvanize the effort, I'm not sure who that is, but I would assume, and I think we're all correct in thinking that we can't wait until that happens. You got to take matters in our own hands in some kind of way.
Yeah, but somebody has to be the person to call us to order. You know what I mean? We're kind of waiting, and it's no different than it was before. Martin Luther King was not the man he was until the situation arose. So he wasn't prepared because he had experienced this situation before. He just came out because of the situation and happened to be the man that was needed at the time. So we need somebody to call us to order and to take it a little further than we are right now, to a point that they are just unbelievable, that they can't believe that we galvanized ourselves. Okay, we're going to take another break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Worry no more, they was already won. Oh, Jesus. I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Joyce, let's go back a little bit and talk about the fact that, you know, there was a time when they called Barack Obama and Michelle angry black men, called him an angry black man and her an angry black woman. But never did you hear them allow words come out their mouths that display any kind of vulgarity. But you know, that if white America is unable to see the double-sided coin that they have, where they allow themselves the luxury of behaving a certain way without there being any penalty, but holding us to a different degree. I mean, it is just clear that Barack Obama couldn't have said any of the kinds of things that this fool has said and gotten away with it.
Absolutely. Like I was just telling my husband and I was talking today. No, he wouldn't have got away with it. They would have lynched him. That's what they would have did. They would have called for a lynching. That's what would have happened to Obama. Either that or somebody would have taken him out. They don't care what it is or how ugly this guy is. They just wanted anybody in there other than another black person, and definitely didn't want a female like Hillary Clinton, because they figured that she probably felt too black, and then when she got with Bill Clinton and the whole bit, then the black folks would start getting ahead again. It's pathetic. This is how they look at us. It's just a race thing all the way. It just never, ever, ever went away. And everybody talking about him, but this guy brought it out to the forefront. Now you know what people think. Now you know who you're dealing with. That is so much better for you now to be on guard and know how to maneuver and to carry yourself. Because what has been happening, people been telling you a lie in front of your face and going behind and try to break you down and carry you down at the knees. But this guy is so bold and bodacious, he letting you know he don't care. He's coming at you and he's right front. He's telling you what everybody's thinking. And like he said, that one racist guy, the one that talked about he ought to have been ashamed of himself to have his beautiful daughter to marry a Jew. He let you know when they asked, well, who are you guys? He said, we are your doctors. We are your lawyers. We are your bankers. So they're not just your swamp white trash that you're dealing with. You're dealing with everyday educated people. And what I hate is that we really thought that this generation, the young generation, would have the movement, that the old generation, the old racism would have died down with the older, but it's not. It's still alive and well. Because a lot of this movement and a lot of this hatred is triggered, and who is behind the trigger are young people. And it's really, really sad.
Andre, I want you to know that a lot of the networks would not say or put on the air exactly what he said. Where I got what he said was from YouTube and for some of the Facebook. So he actually used that word. He actually used son of a B. He said, go get them right now, and they need to fire them son of a B's. And told the owners that that's what they need to do, and that the owners would get the praise from America from doing it. And now today he came out and said it wasn't racist. 70% of the NFL is black. And he knew exactly who he was saying it to. The people taking the knee, the majority of them were black. So who are the son of a bee?
Now, see, let me just say, this is not the sign of a leader. You know, if you're going to lead a people and be responsible for their best interest, but yet you degrade them and talk about them like that, that's... And, you know, I don't even fault just him. You know, that as we were talking today and stuff, and I'm listening and stuff, and we keep talking about Trump. Let me say, you know, our government is set up that we have, you know, the senators and the representatives, Congress. And if they're allowing it, you know, Trump is only one person. And if you remember when President Obama was elected the first time, oh my God, so many people were so sad and everything. And so the only way that they kept, you know, moving forward was to say, you know, well, he's the president, he's one man. It's only so much that the president can do. And it is, because in reality, things are governed by our senators and our Congress, the legislators. So, you know, even if Trump wasn't there, if he was to be impeached or whatever the case may be, then you have to ask yourself, then these same people that are not holding up to standards are still going to be the ones that lead in this country. That's why it's so important that we get out to vote locally as well as nationally. Because if that was said, and I believe you're right, yeah, I mean, surely you wouldn't say it, and you're sharing this story. You know, like I said, this should be just an uproar. I'm just hearing about this on here. I don't know who it was that said, you know, that this platform is to bring awareness to different issues and stuff. Well, this was just brought to my attention because I tell you what, I take that personally because, you know, all we are brothers and sisters keepers. Yes, we are. And if someone is hurt or someone is degraded, then in essence that impacts us all. So I take that personally. So, you know, talking about not looking at it, and here I was thinking about looking at it next year. Oh my goodness! And if they're gonna let him get, I'm gonna do like D say. I'm gonna watch and pray, but I'm surely gonna take some action. And that means that those numbers that Joyce have given out to the Congress and the representative, it's time for me to make a call.
And that's what I mean. I mean, it has to be. We have to do more than just not watch. That's the beginning, Regina. That's just the beginning, not watching. We got to do something economically. We need to do something visually. We have to let them know that they just open up a can of you know what I want to say when you open up a can of what?
Can of what?
A can of worms. Worms. Worms, James.
Okay. They don't open up a can of worms. But that ain't what I wanted to say. But it's time. You know, at some point, when your child don't got two out of hand it ain't nothing left to do but one thing. And so, in this case, you know, white America don't got so out of hand, it's time to do something. And I don't necessarily mean hurt nobody. We got to hurt them where it hurts, and it hurts them in their pocket. And so, it's that time. We can't get around it, Regina.
That's why I just said we've got to, both have said that just boycotting, watching the NFL is not going to work because it's too broad, it's too wide. So start low and climb high. Start by boycotting these restaurants where we're going and spending thousands of dollars on the night that the games are on. This is whether the games are on the weekend or whether they're on during the week. Start there economically. And what we may start right here in Columbia, but these same establishments are all across the United States. And you're asking who is there to lead us? Kaepernick has already started. And just the mere fact that I'm always, not always, but I was in contact with our NAACP office here in Columbia. They were not helping to strategize against different things that were going on. We need their leadership. Bring Kaepernick to the front of that organization as the poster child. And let's meet in D.C. Then, also, another thing that I was having some problems with, as a teacher, if I decide not to stand for the pledge every morning or not to stand for the national anthem, what are my rights? So it's not just the NFL. It's all other people who need to start showing that we're going to support this movement. But we've got to have lawyers in place to help those people who may lose their jobs or who may be at risk, who aren't as well off as Kaepernick, who can take this hit in the pocket. We need strategy. We need
You're saying something now. I mean, oftentimes, like I say, you know, we all come up with it, but when you were speaking, my light bulb just really came on because, again, going back to that article, and I did share it with you, James, if you don't mind, you may want to share it with your list, your distribution list. And, I mean, it is an in-depth article, but it's exactly what you're saying, Regina, is that Kaepernick has started the movement. The movement is there. And like mm-hmm. you said, you know, go ahead and support him. And you're exactly right. These organizations, whether it's the NAACP, whether it's Black Lives Matter, capitalize on him and let's move in this unified, united front. And I like what you're saying as it relates to, the strategic plan of it. And, you know, it takes us in the communities being grassroots, coming together. And that's the reason why I said, you know, out of all this, it's bringing us together because now we have to. But to hear someone to say that, I'm just still appalled that anyone, you know, you wouldn't want somebody to spit in your face. You wouldn't want somebody to curse you out. You know, it's just certain things that you just don't accept and you don't tolerate. And for... Oh, my goodness. But I really like what you're saying. I agree. I think that we should, again, bring him more to the forefront and get behind some of the principles in which it is. It's not just about the football. It is just like you say, it's the principle of how does this apply to other people and other components of our democracy in our country.
And one of the
That's what I'm asking. I'm trying to get attorneys on board. Tell me, give me a card so that when my principal comes to me and say, no, you have to stand. I need a card that says I have a constitutional right not to stand. Although South Carolina is an at-will work state, what are my rights? Do I have any? Where are our lawyers that are going to be right there, Johnny on the spot, when I need them to tell my supervisor, no, this is her right? That's what the NAACP, SNCC, all of those people did to get us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
They strategized.
Mm-hmm.
And we had snitches in the group, but we still went forward, and we were aware and beware of those snitches. I know I don't have time to tell you everything that's going on now, but I had to call the NAACP out. Now I have the National Legal Defense Fund working on my case here in South Carolina. We've got to call them and hold them accountable.
Amen. Tell them, Regina.
Well, Joyce, let me ask you this question, because you have a son who played in the NFL, but it is my thought, you know, again, I played in college. Donald Trump better be glad that he got protection. Because could you imagine him saying that in an environment where he didn't have protection? He just don't know. These young men are not the young men from the past, and that they would revel in punching him in the nose for making a statement that suggested that he was talking about their mama.
Well, they are talking about, they did talk about their mama. That's why they're doing what they're doing now. They're not gangbangers. These are NFL professional players. That's who they are. They are professional, and they're dealing with them on a professional level. Now, when you boycott and everything that you are doing, too, is you hitting them in the pocket. Not the brothers that's playing and running that football. You hitting the owners, and that's where it's hurting right now. That's why they're coming out. They didn't say anything, and they laid back until all of a sudden Trump trying to tell everybody what to do and how the owners, what the owners should do. And the owners saying, wait a minute, now back up. You finna hit us in the pocket, and you finna hurt my income. That's the reason why. But I'm so glad you see, we have to look at the bigger picture. He's doing more good than what he think he is. He think he's doing bad, but he's doing good when you really look at what is going on. Now, everybody said we need a face. We already have a face. Tabernacle is the face. What we need to do is what Regina is doing, and that needs to be done in every city on a local level. What I personally have done, I refuse to eat at a white eatery. From here on out, ever since that St. Louis situation, I'm scared to go in there anyway, because I don't know who's fixing my food and what they're doing and their thinking, their thought process. Because now you don't know who the enemy is behind the pot, who's stirring the pot and sending your food out to you. So I eat at black eateries, and while you're doing that, you're supporting the cause. While we're there eating, we're talking to the black waiter who's waiting on me. What do you think about this? And my reason why I'm coming there to eat at your eatery, and why I'm venturing out. Now you're making us come together as a unit. We're doing it slowly, but this should be done, what Regina and them doing. And Regina, that's a good idea, because, you know, tomorrow I'm calling my NAACP and wanting to know what is our platform, how are we going to go forward.
That's it.
You see, that's what we need to be doing. We need to know what is our platform, what role you want us to play, how can we do it. And then can I add my little 2 cents? What about us stop boycott and just start main eating at the choosing to eat at our eateries, at black eateries, choosing to do that, help that business grow. And that was perfect when we all can do, on a Monday night, everybody like to play football. Well, why go to Wild Wings? For them wings don't taste good anyway. Because you know Brother Joe, he's going to put some loving into it, and he's going to make it tick, so why not go over there? Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. So that's what we can do. We don't need nobody just up front. You got a face on it. You got a leader. You got to push him and tell him where you want him to go, and he's doing it too, you see. So we got it. So we got to start dealing on a local level. We need to really get involved. So that's a start. Thank you. And every Sunday we can come, we can add a little bit more. And now you got our light bulb song, James. Thank you, Regina.
Love you.
Thank you. I'm definitely calling you to know what my platform is. Thank you.
All right, everybody. We're going to take our final break and come back and give our final thought for this evening. Just a thought, James T. Deshaies. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshaies2.com. That's James D. Deshaies, the number 2, .com.
Fathers, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. That heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. Temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful. The Jesus is love.
Regina, what is your final thought for this evening?
Just thankful that we can move forward and we've come up with a plan right here on your platform, James. Great week, everybody.
All right. Joyce, your final thought for this evening?
I think that's an excellent idea to start by phoning Urban League, NAACP, asking them what is the platform and what role it is that they want us, the common citizen, Black American minority, to play, and how we can help that platform to grow into something big and just keep rolling. Thank you very much, Regina. Great idea.
And Audrey, your final thought for this evening.
I am a Black woman, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And my sons and my daughters that follow after me are destined for greatness because of the Lord's good plan that they have. So anyone that would even think about attacking any of my sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, and not just mine, I'm talking about our heritage here, so beyond myself. I feel disrespected on that. So I, too, plan to not only call the Urban League and NAACP this week and ask for our platform, but, again, I will be calling and using the numbers for my senators and representatives and let them know that I am to be respected and those of this country are to be respected. And thank you, James, for bringing this this platform to us.
All right, Joyce, let's work on this week as we come back, making sure that we give that number out every day, those two numbers out, so we can just do what it is that we can do in order to make sure we do what we can to keep the momentum going. Thank you, guys. I'll see you Monday tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thoughts, love, and reflection. Where we are going to let our voices be heard loud and clear. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man, Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
That's the winner.